Now I want to shift to a concept that is, look, this is hard, and yet it's at the core of everything. If we're saying that the dialectic is really the creation of a false reality that you want to put people in, what makes it worth is this concept of Alfhaven. And I just want you to be patient here and walk through it, because we're going to show that Alfhaven actually does something that we'll call a bona fide logic attack. And if you could understand the logic attack at the center of Marxism, you can really, it really makes everything fall into place. And it makes understanding how they're attacking, why they're attacking, and how to counterattack actually simple. This is complex. We're trying to create simplistic solutions to a complex equation. If we can bite off on this complex understanding of what the dialectic really does, centered on Alfhaven, we then will see simplicity and have simple solutions to this really smoke and mirror construct based on Alfhaven. Do you know, if you translate it into German cancel culture, it really is, it can be translated as Alfhaven der Kultur. Is that a coincidence? I don't think so. Cancel culture, Alfhaven der Kultur. And of course, Alfhaven der Kultur is destroy the culture, which is just the tagline of the Frankfurt School from the beginning. So let's take a look at this term, Alfhaven. And it's pretty clear that Hegel himself invented this term. Alfhaven constitutes one of the most important concepts in philosophy. Alfhaven has a twofold meaning in the language. On the one hand, it means to preserve, to maintain, and equally, it also means to cause decease, and equally, or to cause decease, to put an end to. It is delight to speculative thought to find the German language, in the German language, words which have in them speculative meaning. The German language has a number of such terms. And he said this in his Science of Logic. But later, in his Encyclopedia of Logic, he said this about the term speculative. It should be mentioned here that the meaning of speculative is to be understood as meaning the same as what used to in earlier times be called mystical. Mystical. So the Frankfurt School directive to Aufheben der Kultur orients on a term Hegel manufactured and defined speculatively along mystical lines. This term Aufheben violates the law of identity. And now I have to apologize to hurt your brain on this slide and the next slide afterwards to explain what is meant by this. Because if you can bite down on this and spend a little time doing some research and getting comfortable with this, it really will make you understand something so much more simple, and it will allow you to bottom line quickly everything you see coming from the Marxist side. I want to emphasize this. Coming down right on the right side of this formula determines whether you can be a true Red Pill player. If you can't get your mind around this, you can always help fight the battle, but you won't be one of the people who is able to strategically conceptualize what's going on. The law of non-contradiction, along with its complement, the law of the excluded middle, are correlates of what are called the law of identity, which are the first principles of reason. So let me break this down. Regarding the postmodern, also neo-modern, the reciprocal or extreme relativism, the principal attack on reason is ontological. And let's take a breakdown of this term ontological quickly. It's the philosophy or study of being and existence. A quick aside, an often unrecognized outcome of imposing dialectical processes at the cultural level is that it transforms a culture from being centric to becoming centric. I want to be here. Oh no, you can't be here. You're always becoming. You're always improving. You're always in a continuous state of change and progress. You see, that's a shift, and it happens without you knowing it. And we'll get to this later. Think progress, think change, think progressive, think continuous revolution. In the theological world, I am versus always coming to be. Think the transcendent God, I am, it transitions to a God who exists in nature and needs man to know, and he needs man so he can know himself at the end of history. So he can know himself at the end of history as absolute act in terms of Hegel, which becomes the Geist, the spirit. But in the process, God is always coming to be. So the principal attack is on reason as ontological, and it operates through an enforced denial of the law of non-contradiction that is an attack on identity. How do we put this in layman's terms? Let's take a look at it. The law of identity is that which whatever is, or an apple is an apple. The law of non-contradiction, nothing can both be and not be. In other words, two or more contradictory statements cannot both be true and in the same sense at the same time. And we have a quote from Aristotle, or you cannot be an apple and not an apple. Can't, okay? And finally, the law of the excluded middle or the excluded third. Everything must either be or not be in accordance with the law of the excluded middle or the excluded third. For every proposition, either its positive or negative form is true. Or it cannot be an apple and an orange. This seems pretty basic, right? And it is pretty basic. And this really defines, you really have to decide what side of the equation you come down on this. Incidentally, if you are someone who believes I am, you know, in Genesis, you're coming down on this equation, whether you know it or not. So Alfhaven violates the law of non-contradiction. Remember, Hegel said, Alfhaven has a twofold meaning in the language. On the one hand, it means to preserve, to maintain, and it means to cease and put an end to. Think about that. You're using that word where it means it's opposite at the same time. You've created a binary, and this binary flows through everything Hegel does, and therefore it flows through everything Marxism does. The Hegelian concept of Alfhaven claims mystical powers to both make apples and not apples in the same operation. This is a key point here, and it's a key discriminator, and we'll come back to this to reinforce this. True Marxist leaders know this. They are the top 5%, maybe 1%, maybe 0.5%. They are the nihilists who know and understand the mathematical certitude of the one, that you can't be an apple and not an apple at the same time. While the ideologues that follow them on the street hold out for the idealism of the other and are captured by it, just as Schopenhauer decried all the way back in 1840. Interestingly enough, and this is where I'll make the point and pause 5 seconds for the next series of slides, because you can read Lenin. Lenin rejected the law of identity. I'm sorry, I'll leave it there. Lenin rejects the law of the excluded middle. And of course, you can stop this to read it. And finally, Lenin rejected the law of non-contradiction. And here we have Mao talking about on-contradiction. Remember, when they have cartoon characters, you know, two-dimensional characters, they say, we have a contradiction here. We have a contradiction here. Well, wherever there's a contradiction, there's a binary. And where there's a binary, when they say you're engaged in a contradiction, what they're actually saying is you must be negated. Think about it that way, because actually that's all it's ever meant. No matter how much they gild the lily, it's always only about this. So here we have Mao buying onto this and accepting Hegelian law of unity of opposites. But take a closer look at this quote. And I inserted the footnotes in the middle of it to point out that this is Mao quoting Hegel, this is Mao quoting Lenin, analyzing Hegel on non-contradiction. And this is Mao quoting Lenin on the dialectics. This is such a tight fit. And by the way, here we have Lenin's volume 38 philosophical notebook, and almost all of it is either directly about Hegel or commentaries that round out Hegel. And in this book on his philosophical collections, volume 38, he quotes Hegel over 700 times. The idea that you can understand Marxism without its nexus to Hegel and the dialectic is just nonsense. So now we're going to go to the Marxist Internet Archive and have them explain it. Why am I doing this, by the way? I want to make it clear that we're talking about the dialectic in Aufheben and make it clear that this is the core of Marxism itself as well. And they're saying it. So from the Marxist Internet Archive on Aufheben, Aristotle's logic is concerned with separate, discrete self-identities and a deductive pattern. But Hegel dissolves this classical static view of the dynamic movement towards the whole. The whole is an overcoming which preserves what it overcomes. Nothing is lost or destroyed, but raised up and preserved in a spiral. Hegel's special term for this is contradiction of overcoming and at the same time preserving is Aufhebung. I have to correct that. Sometimes translated as sublation. So what is he saying? Whereas the true understanders of Marxism know that all it does is negate, the ideologues believe that when something is negated, you have something higher and better moving on, that you're building to a greater future. And they're saying that it's built on this concept of Aufheben, on the triadic structure. In classical logic, this double negation, A is not non-A, would simply reinstate the original thesis. Aha. But the synthesis, the Hegelian synthesis, does not do this. It has overcome and preserved or sublated the stages of the thesis and antithesis to emerge as a higher rational unity. What is knowing? Reading Hegel gives one a sense that the movement of thought will coincide with a vision of harmony that awaits us at the end of the whole process. Does this sound like secular religion, like a faith? Because it should. Every serious reader of Hegel can bear witness to the intoxication of such movements. So it's at the core of Marxism is the Hegelian metaphysic, and at its core is this concept of Aufheben, which they're saying really drives this religious fervor in Marxism. And now you know that despite the fact that they stripped out the mystical language, remember, Marx made fun of it, Lenin made fun of it, but they brought it in and they made it the core of what they're doing. And what does it create? That religious intoxication. And now we know it really comes from some mystical esoteric thinking. And they knew it. So I'm repeating myself again just to reemphasize this. The Hegelian concept of Aufheben claims mystical powers to both make apples and not apples. And the nihilists understand the metaphysical certitude that this can't happen, while ideologues believe they're actually the antithesis uprising and better. The same Marxist who derided Hegel for his mysticism adopted his mystical formula in whole. Why? Because they recognize that this grimoire of incantations and spells works to great effect, intoxicating both friend and foe. If you respond to a Marxist attack in their narrative, you're intoxicated. As this visualization continues, pretend Marxism really is based on a grimoire of incantations and spells, and then ponder your situation as if you really were trapped in it, you know, like the Matrix. So let's take a look at this, the whole. You know, you've heard generals, secretaries of defense, attorney generals, DHS, they get asked these questions and they'll say, it's complicated. Oh my gosh, you know, when you think about it, the world is so complex. All you can do is manage chaos. This all arises out of the Hegelian concept of the whole. In fact, it enforces it. What does this mean? And in fact, almost all our national security rides on this logic attack. Here's a pen. You know, I really, I really can't say I know anything about this pen until I know everything in the universe about this pen, which is, when you think about it, the universe. And I have to go into an infinite cascade into knowing the whole, because it's only from knowing the whole that I can know this pen. But because I really can never know the whole, I can't know the pen. It's complicated. It's complicated. It's complex. Do you see that? That is an information attack. That is an hostile information attack against critical thinking. And before we move on, I just want to give you an example of how this can penetrate and stuff that seems funny. Because, you know, we've all seen on TV, how many times every month you see somebody raise Schrodinger's cat, Schrodinger's cat, Schrodinger's cat. And I just kind of want to point out, you know, if science were a religion, then wouldn't theory be called a belief? When so much of what we like to postulate is based on scientific theories that have not converted to science, aren't you really moving from one belief to another belief? Well, of course, the answer is yes. But of course, the people who I just nailed on this will violently disagree. And it is an attack on the law of the excluded middle. And CARM, the Christian Apologetics and Research Ministry, actually nailed this. And I just wanted to point this out to you. It gives the classical definition of the law of the excluded middle. It's one of the three basic laws of classic logic. It says that statements are either true or false. Now, how many people understand that this is just obvious? Or, as has some has put it, a statement is true or its negation is true. Some reject this law and assert that there is a third option, namely, that the truth or falsity of the statement can be unknown. But it would seem that being unknown does not negate the proposition that the statement is either true or false. It just means its truth or falseness is not known. So, you know, Schrodinger's cat is either dead or alive. Okay. You're not knowing it doesn't create an altered reality, no matter what people want to tell you in theoretical quantum mechanics. And that theoretical quantum mechanic theory, even if it converted to be true, would have nothing to do with how you understand things in everyday life. Just because you don't know whether the cat is alive or dead doesn't mean the cat is both alive and dead. It's an example of an ongoing dialectical attack on thought that relies on scientism, false science, pseudoscience, that is not actually inherently Marxist. And there are many examples of that. So Alfhaben assures that science of reason concepts will be applied dialectically to negate the object of focus. A direct assault on science replaces reason, for example, scientific method, with authority, the state, well, as God. It reverses the West 800-year commitment to reason. It is a logic attack that intentionally contradicts the law of identity. And we're going to pick this back up shortly, but we really have to go and address a couple other issues. And that will be after we address the dialogue praxis process, which we'll take up shortly in the next briefing. So with that, what I would like to do is end this, and we'll to be continued.